Question on last week's parsha. Few questions. The first question, simpler question is, what is the dialogue between what is Moshe Rabbeinu saying to our Kadosh Baruch Hu? It seems like repetitious. In very reference, I don't much of Nadishim Lemo. Hain b'nei Yisro, Asher Marilai, v'eifish meni faro v'ani aral svasai. So that was already mentioned right before, the first time, ani aral svasai. And then it comes back again. It says, v'elu eftish nishi, v'edaber Asher Moshe Lemo, ani ar Hashem, daber al paro malach Mitzrayim, eis kol asher yidover lecha. V'yomer Moshe l'fnei Hashem, hain ani aral svasai, v'eifish meni faro. Again. Okay. Then, of course, the bigger question is, what is new over here in Vayera? Because, okay, you have the introduction. But, okay, after the introduction, it seems to be the same thing. Because he says, my Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Ata sedaber efter shlishi." Ema shemashu rein esatich al himlafar. Vahan echich liyel viecha. Ata sedaber eiskol asher esavako. Vahan echich liyel al paro. Veshilach tzmei esol mehatsa. Vani achshe slave paro. Vebeisi eso sosei ves mosei beret Mitzrayim. Velo yishma alechem paro. Venasati es yodu bi Mitzrayim. Lotzeisi sivosi esivosei esami bnei esol mehatsa. Mishvotim gidol. Okay. But this, when you learn Parshas Vayera, it sounds like this is something new. But when you look back at Shmos, in the first communication, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that same idea. Because Vayomer Moshe, after that, Lech Pasafta Zikni Yisrael Chamish Shmos. So, in Chamish, so it says, Shemul Kalechom, Vaom Alaschem Yana Mitzrayim, Alaskan, Fita Marakiz, Vaifiva Busi, Alaskan, Vaishvam, 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 Vaso ato v'zikne yisrael melchim shayim v'mata melot. Arishem alakeyo ha'ivriyim nikro alinga. Vata nelchon ha'derach shloshim b'midbar. V'nizbuchol ha'arishem alakeyo. V'ani yadati. Gimel yutes. V'ani yadati ki lo yitein eschem melchim shayim v'aloch. V'lo b'yar chazorto. You're going to refuse. V'shalachti yes yodi v'kesi yes misrayim b'chol nifloso yasher esa b'kirlo v'achaychem v'shalach esam. Same thing. So that idea already was mentioned before. So it seemed that he's just repeating the same thing again. Same thing. So what's different over here? What is different? It seems like a lot of repetition. Okay? So let's just take another point. See, after the initial communication with Moshe Rabbeinu on what he's supposed to do, and I'm leaving out, of course, the Ekyash. Ekyash is a separate parasha. I don't know if we ever.
We
did. The Rambam. But anyway, everything basically Moshe Rabbeinu received the nevuah as to what exactly he's supposed to do, okay, and he gave a synopsis of the whole. the whole Yitzchus Mitzrayim, basically. You need that way to ask another time about Lalo, for Lobby Chazak, which you'll have to see in the case of Mitzrayim, Bechol Niflo, Sashi Yasa, Bekil, Achachin, Shalach Eschan. And it's not the Eschan, Oma Zeh, Bein Mitzrayim, Voya Kisir Lechum, Osef Olekum, Vishal Rish Mishchento, Medar Es Beisok, Lech Chesach, Lech Zor, Lech Zmoos, Samtem Al Benecha, Lech Zeh, and Tzaltem Es Yisrael. I mean, it's an overview of the whole thing. You don't have to, this doesn't have to be repeated. And interesting is that Moshe Rabbeinu went ahead and he did everything. He taught them the idea of Ekyah Asher Ekyah, to the Chachmei Yisrael, to the Zikne Yisrael. He taught them that idea, and then he did the Osos in front of the Am, and everything seemed to be fine. Because the Pasuk is never, the Pasuk says, Vayelach Moshe, the Pasuk, right before Shvi, Vayelach Moshe Rani Yasvas Kol Zikne Yisrael, Vaydaba Aaron Yisrael Dvar Moshe, Vayelach Moshe, Vayelach Osos Lainei Am. And what does it say? Vayamei Noam. So the unbelieved. The Torah is made on them. Vayamei Noam, they believe it. Vayishmu, ki fakad ad Hashem es b'nei Yisrael, v'ki ro'as anyam, vayigdu ha'yishtahava. Okay? So he gave Sherech Vayda. So everything's all set. So then, and then, v'achar, bo'al Moshe v'al, v'hi v'apar, k'ram ad Hashem v'k'yishol, Sherech ha'sam v'yichol yid ma'mid. So Moshe Rabbeinu went and did what he was instructed to do. When he went to Paro. So what happened over here in this last, the last parsha? And it's not that's the last parsha, the last from Shriya. What happened? I mean, what basically happened over here? What happened over here? I mean, it's Vayamein Ha'om. So then suddenly, you see, even though it's Vayamein Ha'om, but then in a short time, they seem to have lost their munah.
They
turned against them. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. They got angry at them. They said, "Vayir shatrei bnei Yisraelim baral leimor, vayifkos Moshe zayin itzal mikrasam, vayamru aleihem yerad Hashem aleichem v'yishpat eshev ashkem esrechinu bnei far bnei avada." Was a scher of the yodim lagehem. See, the minute was very short lived. I mean, the Torah's made and the vayam ain't alone. You see. So were they ma'aminim or were they not ma'aminim? Evidence on ma'aminim. Yeah. So,
yeah,
v'yam einom, mikan shi'yeh, Yomar Shabbos, mikan shi'yeh ma'aminim. Yeah, so you see that they're ma'aminim. But, I mean, it doesn't seem, doesn't say too much for such ma'aminim. And a short time later, I mean, they're saying, Hashem Vashtim Yerad Hashem Alechem Yishpa, Hashem Vashtim Esrechenu, Ve'nei Far Ve'nei Avodah, Vasaschad Yom Lagenu. And then Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lama Reyos Lama Zeh, Lama Zeh Shlachtani. Okay? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer, we don't understand. Vayom Hashem Moshe Ato Asira, not Ato with an Aleph, but Ato with an Ayin. Now you'll see. What's now? I mean, what's now? It's not now. It's in the future. What is now? The answer we don't understand. But anyway, you see, what is the pshat over here? Vayamein ha'om. I mean, and this is really the Torah reveals the das ha'odam. Now, vayamein ha'om. Why make sure the ma'aminim? So they really were. The Torah's made that they were ma'amin. That means 100%. They were ma'amin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu rab anyam. And the Pakad Hashem says Bnei Yisrael, and they were very excited, very happy about it. They believed it was true. The only thing is, and they were ready even for difficulties, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'ani yadati ki lo yitein lachem melachem Mitzrayim lahaloch, v'lo biyad chazaka." Okay. So Rishlachti said the case was them b'chol niflos asher asa b'kiru. So they knew it wasn't going to be an easy thing. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't fool them. He wouldn't tell them it's going to be easy. And the Torah told them it's going to be very difficult. And they were ready for a big battle. So they were ready for a big battle. There's only one thing they weren't ready for. They weren't ready for a setback. That's what they weren't ready for. That is a setback. And a setback which had an emotional impact also. It was more than just a setback. But it was a setback with an emotional impact. See, a person could be a mammon. And he could be a mammon, and even the Torah could be made on the person. the best aid is possible. The person is a mammon. But there is a big difference between being a mammon and perfection. So a person being a mammon doesn't mean that he's perfected. There's a big distance between just being a mammon and being a mammon in a way that reveals a perfected individual. So it's a different, it's a totally different level. See, they believe it's true. They believe 100% it's true. The only thing is that they were ready to go forward. Their emotions were in gear to go forward in a very difficult battle, and they're ready to face that battle. But a battle came to them they weren't ready for. See, that's a difficult thing for a human being. He's ready, he's a mammon, he's ready, and he thinks he knows what the battle lines are, and he's ready to go, and he has all his emotions involved in that scene, you see. But then if something hits him from somewhere else, and hits another emotion, then if he's not perfected, he fails. See, not perfected. And that's what happened to them. They were ready for a battle, but in their minds, they had an idea of what kind of a battle it's going to be. Very difficult. That they accepted. The quantity of the difficulty they're ready to accept. Nothing Sram is not going to go along with this, and he's going to fight like anything. Yeah, okay, we're ready. But a setback in the state of the office, that they weren't ready to take. That was a different kind of a blow, you see. To lose what you have, they're ready to go forward, but to lose what you have and go down and worse. And it wasn't just a physical worse, but it was an emotional worse. Because even though they were avodim, they still enjoy the fact that the mitzvah had a certain, gave them a certain level of respect. They were workers at a certain level of importance as human beings. That's why they said, Ashev Ashtem Esrechena. It means that it bothered them. That now, that they said to Moshe, now what you did was, you see, of course, Paro played his role very well. Because what did Paro say? Paro said, you're negotiating now to go out. This is not a negotiation to go out. This is nirpim atam, nirpim. This is just an excuse, and you really... You're really lazy, and you're using this as a ruse. This is not true. So he by doing that, he was really degrading them. That's why I said, "Lasei scherav biyodam l'argeno." Now we don't have any esteem at all. We had a little bit, but now we have nothing. And now they have no respect for us at all. And now we're not only an avdus, but we're a step deeper, a step lower. You see. It was a loss of what they had. You see. It's the thing is, the psychology of the human being is that it's very hard for a person to understand when he's on one level, people on a different level. You see, it's always the case. Like for instance, it's very hard for a poor person to understand why a wealthy person is concerned about money. Because if I would be in his situation, I wouldn't be concerned at all, because he's not in that level. And vice versa, it's very hard for a wealthy person to see a person that's low and say, one little lower. So what? I mean, he's nothing anyway. It's always difficult. It's always difficult for an individual who's not in that situation, when he looks at another situation, it is very difficult for him to see the emotions of the individual. But the truth of the matter is that's true in every sphere of life, that people, man adjusts, has the ability to adjust to every situation. And he doesn't even know, that's what he used to say in Yiddish, in a good verse, a person shouldn't know what he can adjust to. You know? That because people, man has the ability to adjust to every situation. But when he adjusts, he simply rearranges the same emotion. So when a person is very successful, becomes very wealthy, he will in a short time rearrange all his emotions, and he'll feel the same way towards his new situation as he did when he was in Lanka. Or vice versa. The person goes down, at first it's very hard, the change is extremely difficult. Well, once he goes down, somehow or other, his emotions grab onto what he has at the moment. And if he has a little bit of comfort, he'll hang on to that little bit of comfort. It's not like going down can be very difficult, because going down is something which the person, he may have a lot of comfort, and now suddenly he loses it. Well, you'll see in a short time he'll adjust to the small covet he has. And the small covet will be just as important to him as the big covet was before. And vice versa. A person has a little bit of covet, and then he's raised up to a higher position. At first he'll enjoy it. He'll be elated. But after a while he'll relate to that bigger covet just like he did to the same situation he had before. And that's, basically there's no change. So, that's human nature. That's human nature. What propels a person, it's totally nonsensical, but that's what propels man. Because if man would really know that, he wouldn't want to move ahead. He's fooled all the time. He thinks that he feels a desire to move ahead, thinking that he keeps thinking before his mind's eye of the enjoyment of the moment of the change. That's what he's fixed on. But he doesn't realize that in a short time, he's going to readjust all his emotions to the exact same thing. I mean, virtually no difference. You see. Then, of course, that's a letdown, and then he moves ahead again. He follows the next fantasy. You see. And the same thing is true up, same thing is true down. So what's difficult for us in reading the psukim is to understand the level of an eved. He's down. What's the difference? Okay, so they're working 15 hours a day, not 16 hours a day. So the mitzvim don't respect you. It sounds absurd. So what? I mean, you're a bother. But you have to realize that a person adjusts to every situation. So if you're a lowly eved, it doesn't mean that the idea of respect is simply non-existent. No, now you grab onto there's something. Even the respect of the mitzvah is something which is important for them. So they found that blow was intolerable. They were ready, but a setback they weren't ready for. Now, what is the mistake? What is their mistake? See, what is their mistake?
Now he's suicide.
Mistake is the mistake is that a person's emunah, even if a person is a mamin, even if a person is a mamin, like I said, I mean, to be a mamin on a really perfected level is a different kind of mamin. The mistake is like this, that even though a person is a mamon, somehow or other, he can't prevent himself from thinking or attaching his amunah to some kind of a plan that makes sense to him. You see? He has to have some kind of a framework. You see? Some kind of a framework. So when they heard, like I said, when they heard that the going out of Mitzrayim has been very difficult, there was a framework that they attached the amunah to. They're Mamidim, but they attached to a framework. When that framework didn't take place, and they were hit with a blow from a completely different source, it was a setback in the Avdus itself, they weren't ready for that, you see, then it collapsed, you see. But why did it collapse? Not because they lacked the Muna. See, you have to understand that. It's easy to judge another person. Not because they lacked the Muna. The Muna was there, but the Muna man has a very difficult time. Even if he's a mammon, he has a very difficult time in removing the pure Muna from a set of facts that he envisions in his mind as to how it's going to take place. You see, it's very, very difficult. It's a very difficult thing for a person to do. That's why by Avraham Avinu it says that one of the ten Nisyanos was that the moment he went to Eretz Yisrael, he wrote Boretz. And the Rambam says, Zeh Nisayon Gadol. Why is it a big Nisayon? Because here, Kadosh Baruch Hu told him, go to this place, Vavarecho, Gadol Shemecho, as soon as he gets there, there's a Rav, and he has to leave. I mean, that's a big Nisayon, because a person can't help himself. Even if he knows Birkas Hashem is there for him, he has to attach it to some kind. His emotions demand attach some kind of a scene that he has to attach it to. He has to embrace some kind of a reality in his mind, what he thinks is a reality. And if that's shattered, then the whole thing falls apart.
Okay. Emotional
blame is rushing things up. Okay. But that's with Klal Yisrael. See, that's Klal Yisrael. See, that's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael were ready for a big battle, a difficult battle, all ready to go. but they weren't ready for the setback and the blow of the loss of esteem in the eyes of Mitzrayim, and the blow that they're now worthless, and now Paro has an excuse to l'seischar v'yadam l'argeno, to actually destroy them. That they weren't ready for. So that was there. That's why they failed. Moshe Rabbeinu is.
They weren't prepared.
No, he didn't prepare them. No, because he didn't. That he didn't know. All he knew was it's going to be a difficult battle. Paro is not going to give in. Okay, we're ready for that fight. But this fight they weren't ready for. Now it's getting worse. It's a completely different battle. That's a weakness in a human being. It's a weakness. Even if it doesn't mean the person not a mommy. Vayamein on, they believe 100%. Muna was there. But there's a difference between believing in the Amunah per se and taking that Amunah and attaching it to a set of circumstances. That's man's weakness. He's a mammon, but he needs the circumstances. He's looking for the circumstances to attach it to give him the security of a certain system. I'm in this system, I'm ready for that system. But he wasn't, they weren't ready for what I knew. And that's what that's the idea. Okay, Moshe Rabbeinu was different. That's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, is not in the same category. But Moshe Rabbeinu also complained. Vayoshe Moshe l'Hashem v'yomar, Areshem lomar reyosa lomozeh shlachtani. So what does that show you? So it shows you Moshe Rabbeinu had a different question. You see, he thought that he understood his shlichus, and he didn't want the shlichus at first. He didn't want to accept it because it wasn't simply like a robot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, go and do the nisim and everything's going to be fine. But he had to accept the responsibility to be convincing and put all his energies and efforts into being the best person to convince and to speak to people and to reach the people and to speak to Paro. It wasn't just go in there, say anything, and then something's going to happen. So he doesn't have to go altogether. So it was a tremendous responsibility, and it was a responsibility in an area of his personality that he felt he was lacking in. He didn't want to assume that kind of a responsibility. It's not his thing. Shlach no biatishlach. This is not my area. I can't put any effort into this. I can't do it. It's not going to be successful, and I don't have the ability to do it. But the moment he accepted the shluchas, it didn't mean he's just going to do it like a robot, like I said. It means he's going to really try to be the most persuasive, influential individual, because that was the role. That was a very demanding role for him. He didn't want to accept that role. He didn't feel that he was the right person for that role. That wasn't his abilities. It was outside of his abilities. So, but then he accepted it. Okay, so with Aaron, he accepted it. But then he thought that what was the idea? He thought the idea was negotiations with Paro. He has to go and start negotiating with Paro. And tell him that he has to send the people out. So send the people out, and okay, it's not going to be easy. He's going to refuse this, but eventually eventually it'll be nisun aflos, and he's going to let him go. Yeah, but aside from the nisun aflos, and this is what I want to emphasize, aside from the nisun aflos, everything else is derech hateva. There's nothing. Otherwise, there's nothing for him to what does he have to worry about accepting responsibility? So it's not afkav the tel. So he went with the shlichus. He accepted the shlichus. But what was his question? What was Moshe Rabbeinu's question? Moshe Rabbeinu simply had a kasha. His kasha was, why should it start with failure? It doesn't make sense. That was his kasha. One shlichus, okay. He was willing to accept it, no matter how difficult he accepted it. He committed all his energies to the shlichus. But it didn't make sense. To start off with the initial thing, there should be a failure in the system. That doesn't make sense. You see? That was Moshe Rabbeinu's time. Loma Ariosa Lomaze Lomaze Shlachtani. Meos Bossio Palabelis Necha Heira Lomaze. That's a way itself as a Necha. So he says it doesn't make any sense. It's bad enough that I have the defects. I have the defects of a loss for science. And I have had a hard enough time convincing everybody, and now they're all convinced. But now we start off with failure? Doesn't make sense. The whole thing doesn't make sense. That's what he didn't understand. That was his couch. That's why Chazal say that a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that implicit in the answer is certain criticism. But that's Christmas mashmal. But for an ordinary person, it wouldn't be Christmas. So, but the pshat in the puzzle, what was his question? That was his question. His question was, how does it make sense that it's difficult enough as it is that I should be the shliach, and now I fail also. I mean, the whole mission is hopeless. You see. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered and said, no. Atasira. What does Atasira mean? Ata means now. Now, this is the way you're making mistakes. You think you have an idea in your mind of the shlichus going, starting at a low point and then moving along and then eventually succeeding. No. Atasira. Now you'll see. This was necessary. The failure was necessary for the shlichus. That's how you make a mistake. Because you think the failure is something which is going to be difficult, if not impossible, to overcome, because we already started off with a failure. No, on the contrary. Atasir, now you'll see. Asher esel afaro. And that's really the introduction to Vayera. That's the introduction to Vayera. You see, Vaydabal ken Moshe, Vayomav Anir Hashem. Anir Hashem, so Rashi says, what is Anir Hashem? Means to say that Nemon means that you can't, even though you received the communication from HaKadosh Baruch Hu about the plan, you still can't attach you can't try to figure out how the Shilum Schar is going to take place. So you don't know the Shilum Schar. Of course, a person, he had to ask that question because he has to go on the Shlichus and everything has to go according to Sechel. So he has to ask the question. But the answer is that Ani Hashem means that I bring it about but not the way that, not in accordance with the way a human being thinks it should be brought about. So you see the failure, and it looks like the plan is gone. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he made that complaint, you have to know that it wasn't just an idle complaint. You see. It means Moshe Rabbeinu evaluated that it's the end of the shlichus. With his chachma, with his great chachma, he said, "Now it's gone." We start off with a failure, that's it. I'll never get them back again. It's gone. And you must say that with his chachma, he saw that that's so. It wasn't a weakness on it. By the people, it was a weakness. They were ready to go, but they weren't ready for a setback. A setback knocked them off completely. That's one kind of song. But Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not talking about the people, you're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't want to be him. So he didn't have that weakness. But with him, when he made this complaint, what it meant was that according to the analysis of with his chachma, it's the end of the shlichus. He knew it. It wasn't a weakness on his part. It wasn't a weakness. That was Bnei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't know, he didn't have a weakness. So his complaint was a realistic evaluation of his shlichus. And the realistic evaluation led to the logical conclusion that it's basically all over. It's all over. You see. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer him? You see, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him, it's not the pshat he answered him that he made a mistake. I mean, that's you're not talking about an ordinary human being. You're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. So with his chachma, he analyzed the shlichus over because it started with a failure. It's not going to go anywhere. He had to say that's it. He was right. I mean, he's evaluation must have been correct. It wasn't a mistake. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't say it was a mistake.
No,
evaluation was good. But Ata Sira. Now you'll see. So the answer is in the Ata Sira. What was the answer in the Ata Sira? What was the answer? So the answer, of course, is in the next parasha. Vo'eiro Avram el Yitzchok vel Yaakov b'keil shakai yishmir Hashem on adatua. Okay, and the whole introduction. The gamak moses b'siyitom l'seis l'maseretz kedon. The gamak nishamati. And then the whole l'cheinim b'lev nesel l'yir Hashem. B'tzeis yeschem yitachzom zayin. The whole parasha. V'aydabu moshe kenel b'nei Yisrael. So what was this new dibur? The new dibur? The new dibur was a new haschola, a new approach. It's a new approach. You see, what he told the Bnei Yisrael was not yet the implementation of the new approach, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu just told him to tell Bnei Yisrael this. Go back to them and give them this message. Ani Hashem. Nemon Meshalim Schar. It's true you had a failure, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring it about nevertheless. Nemon Meshalim Schar. That was the message he was instructed to give the Bnei Yisrael. Okay. And he gave the message. And they didn't listen to him. Okay. V'lo shomo moshe. Mikotz haruach. He gave them all the ideas of the Avos and the Bris and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Nemon. And he tried to persuade them to keep fast to the Amunah, not to the events. That's what he tried to do. So that was the message. The message of L'chein Emel Rizal Mir Hashem means Nemon L'shan Shach. Give them that message. Forget about the events. The events were all negative. Don't let that bother you. Still, in spite of that, attach yourself to the Amunah and go back to Vayamein Om. Go back to the original, to the way you were originally before this event. You see? That's what he was instructed to do. That's insofar as the Am is concerned. So he went and he told them, but you see, it didn't have any effect. So then Moshe Rabbeinu said like this: Chazal says one of ten Kol Hamas on top. So after that, he said, now you see that the fact that I'm an Aral Sfasayim is hindering me, and it doesn't work. I can't even convince the Bnei Yisrael, who for them they're in Avdus, and this is the greatest thing for them. It's emotionally they should be happy and excited to accept it. And in spite of that, I can't convince them. So Ve'echish Meini Paro, I'm taking away everything from Paro. So how is he going to lose? That was the Kal V'chomer. Okay. So the next pasuk was an answer. Vayadaber Hashem al Moshe ve'al Aaron ve'yitzavim al Bnei Yisrael ve'al Paro Melech Mitzrayim. So Rashi mentions, what does it mean ve'yitzavim al Bnei Yisrael? Tzivam aleihem lanhigam benachas ve'lizbol also. So he told Moshe Rabbeinu, he told him, it's not because of your defect. It's not because of the fact that you can't communicate properly. It's because of me'avodah kasha. Mikotzeruch me'avodah kasha. Be sovel them. You have to have tolerance of them. Because they're under tremendous pressure, and that's why they're not listening. And that's why they're not listening. Then he also gave an instruction about Paro. He told Paro, Tzivom olav lachlok lo kovet b'devarim. Paro, he gave an instruction, when you go to Paro, you should treat him with kovet. Okay, that was the two tzivim he got over there. Then the Torah goes away and goes into the Eila Rosh HaVetzvosim. It goes back and wants to give you the idea of the Shvatim, the Shifte Kor, and who Moshe and Aaron was. And Moshe and Aaron is a part of Shifta Kol. We spoke about that, and then it comes back. Then it comes back again.
The only reason why he would leave his life, I don't want to take
that course. Think Paro was covered,
or what?
Yes, that's something. I don't know. At this point, we don't know. Yes, that's all he did. Two things. Bnei Yisrael, he said, be sovel them. You have to realize their situation. So you need Safwanas over here. So and Pare just said treat him with cover. Okay, we'll see in a minute. So then it says like this: Daber Hashem al Moshe leimar ani Hashem daber al Paro melech Mitzrayim eis kol asher ani gal ve'elacha. Vayom al Moshe lefnei Hashem hein ani alals v'asayim ve'ech nishma lai Paro. He doesn't say anymore kavachomer. Why doesn't he say kavachomer? Because that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him right. Like Tzavim el B'nei Yisrael. Be sovel them. Well, Hashem Moshe mekotzer ruach me'avod ha'koshes. Moshe Benin didn't know why. That pasuk tells us. So he didn't know. So he thought that he just can't accomplish his goal. Can't accomplish his goal. I'm not going to listen. So there's no forward motion. That was his argument. There can't be any forward motion after the failure. And he went to them and he saw, again, they don't listen. So he said, they don't listen. You see, the failure had an effect on them. Certainly, it's going to have an effect on Paro as well. And Kalvachoma. So Kadosh Baruch Hu answered him. He answered him about B'nai Yisrael, and he said, no, B'nai Yisrael, you have to be sober. Why? Because there's not a lack in you. It's simply because of the fact that Kotzer Ruch may have Kasha. Okay? That answered that question. But that's why the next time he doesn't say anymore Kalvachoma. He says, what was the question? You see, the failure, the Moshe Rabbeinu's original question was, he started off with a failure. Failure, so now it can't go ahead. And his analysis had to be 100% accurate. There's no question about it. It was Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon Avim, is the greatest Chacham, and that was a proper analysis. So meantime, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, that he told him, go back and tell the people on the Ani Hashem and explain to them the Amuna, bring them back to their Amuna and take them away from the events, and he did, and it didn't have any effect. So he thought, that's it. There's no purpose in moving ahead. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you have to be solved. Paro, he just told him to speak with Kavod. But Moshe, that didn't answer the question about Paro. Because the question was a double question. The failure involved two parties. It involved Klal Yisrael and also Paro. Because Paro sees what's happening. He sees now the people are nothing. They don't have any self-esteem. And he was successful. So why should he back off now? Why should he back off now? He's in a position that he won. He won. And he sees the people are emotionally destroyed. Emotionally destroyed. He really beat them. So now why should he listen? That was Moshe Rabbeinu's kasha. Eich yishmai lai paro v'niyar al sasayim. And moreover, what did Paro say to Moshe Aaron? He said, Loma Moshe Aaron tafiyas on the masa, l'chu l'sigol seichem. What does it mean? It means he treated them just like ordinary people. He says, get back to your work, he said. Why? Because I'll say it didn't mean work because they weren't really working with Mitzrayim. Go back to your house and get back to your business. So you see the way Paro treated Moshe Aaron, treated them like just ordinary individuals, nobody. You see. So that was Moshe Rabbeinu's question over here. The question was, the answer, all right, call Yisrael, they didn't listen, so that's the Me'avod HaKasha. But Paro, his question, the question wasn't answered about Paro. Paro now is at the height of his success, he accomplished his goal, he destroyed the people physically and emotionally, and now I'm going to call him, yeah, Ralph Sassayim. There's no way that I could possibly impress him. You see? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him. Vayomar Hashem al Moshe, Re'ei nisaticho lehim lefaro, Va'aron achicho yiyya nevi'echa. You see? So here was the answer. What was the answer? The answer was that you're making a mistake about Paro. That Paro is a very astute politician. He knows how to handle himself very well. And he said, "Lachu v'sivlo sechem," he treated you like you're nothing. But that's not true. That's not true. Re'ein esaticho lehim lefaro. He has a great respect for you. And in spite of the fact that you aren't an eloquent speaker, he still has a fear of you. He has a fear of you. So don't go by what he said. He said, don't go by what he said. And the proof was, of course, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's initial fear when Kadosh Baruch Hu instructed him to go to Paro? He says, Mi anochi ke'elecho Paro. So Ramban says, what was Mi anochi ke'elecho Paro? Ramban says, he says, he'll kill me. V'shama she'ovar aguni. Just like the Navi said. So he was afraid that Paro will simply kill him. Who is he? He's nobody. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Re'ei nesatecha lehim l'Paro. Now you see, he's afraid of you. He didn't touch you, and not only that, but he considers you as a master. You see, he has that fear of you. So don't make the mistake of thinking that he feels victorious. And that Moshe Ben had no way of knowing how Paro was affected. No way of knowing that. So on the contrary, he was very, very clever, and he indicated that he didn't consider him anything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the answer. And that was the answer. And in spite of the fact that you're an Aral Sfasayim, he looks at you as a leader, a powerful Chacham, and an individual that he has to contend with. You're not an ordinary person like he's trying to make out. You see. So once Moshe Rabbeinu knew that, he was able to proceed.
So that he couldn't.
What? That was the thing. He needed Aaron because, you know, you see, how a person, what impresses a person is very individual. Very individual. There are all different kinds of personalities. Some people are impressed by a strong personality, some people are impressed by a meek person. That's a very individualistic type of thing. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu was that the fact that he's an Aral Sfasayim is not a weakness. It's not a weakness. Paro looks at him as the man who is the powerful man that is the Chacham behind the scenes. And he lets Aaron talk. Aaron does the talking, but the power is Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's the way Paro felt about Moshe and Aaron. And the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him was, you should know that that's the way he looks at you. Doesn't look at you as weak. He looks at you that you're the Chacham behind the scenes. You're not involved in the presentation. Aaron is the presenter, but he respects you. Nesaticha lehim l'faro. He's afraid of you, and he respects you, and he considers you a dangerous opponent. He's a dangerous opponent. So once he was armed with that information, then he was able to go. That was the answer. So the first, it's not a repetition. The first thing was he took away the Kal Vachomer. Kal Vachomer, of course, that was, he told them, the Bnei Yisrael, don't worry about that, that's, you have to be sold with them. That's in the Kotzer of Mavada Kasha. But then the Kasha was Paro. What about Paro? There are two people involved in it, two parties involved here. Paro looks at you as a powerful individual. And you'll see when you go before him, you see he won't just discharge you. See? But now this was an important thing. See, this was an important thing. Why? Because this was really the basis of all the... In this parsha, the whole basis of Yetzias Mitzrayim was set up. See, in the first parsha, the Shlichus was set up. But the Shlichus, as you see, originally was not the ultimate shlichus. It was just the initiation of the process. It was the initiation. And Moshe Rabbeinu thought that the process was supposed to proceed along lines of negotiation, and then he said it's total failure. Because if the first negotiation, you fall on your face and you fail, and it's a difficult situation, you can't get up anymore. It's gone. And he was right. He was basically right. But the negotiations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up were a different kind of negotiations. And that's what was revealed in this parsha. We'll just get to that. Different kind of negotiations. See, it was a change. The first thing was, like I said, he answered the kashas. But the change was that this parsha forms the basis for all the nisim. And in two ways. The first way, of course, I just want to make this clear. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, Hinani Rasavan, the Eichish Melai Paro, you understand that if he just went to Paro and Paro had no respect for him, you could never have the Nisim unfold. Why? Because all the Nisim were on a platform in the whole country, there's something going on here. There are negotiations that are going on here that the whole country knew that this is a very serious matter. And this man, Moshe Rabbeinu, is coming, he's making these demands, and the Melech is refusing him. And people all over were aware that this is a serious, very serious matter. The country, the Melech, doesn't take this lightly, and this is a serious thing, and there's a big battle going on. That battle, the fact that the country was aware that there's a battle, and the dynamics of the battle, and the level of the battle, that was the backdrop for all the reasons. Well, so that there's nothing. So what? Moshe Rabbeinu goes, nobody knows he goes, he throws him out, that's it, bye. But the reason why the Nisim could unravel and have the effect that they had was based on one thing. The reason why the Nisim could have effect was based on the fact, Re'ei Nisaticha Elohim Lefarach. If that weren't true, there's nothing. So Nisim don't do anything. Nisim themselves, so you have to, I mean, this doesn't mean. The Nisim require a backdrop. You see, a platform upon which to work themselves out, upon which they can express themselves and have the desired effect. What was the platform? And the platform was that all of Egypt, all of Mitzrayim was aware that there's a critical situation in the country. And there's a big battle between the Melech and between this individual, Moshe, and his brother Aaron, who are making demands of the Melech. And there's something going on. Unusual, you see. That's the basis. There's nothing to talk about. That was the background of the whole system of the Makos, you see. But it was, what about Moshe Rabbeinu's Kasha? Moshe Rabbeinu's Kasha, he said his analysis had to be correct. It wasn't just that Moshe Rabbeinu elected a Munna. His analysis was correct. That according to the plan, it's a difficult, if you're trying to execute a very difficult plan, and you set yourself forth and put everything out forth, and you absolutely fail, I mean, there's no chance to go ahead. And everything has to go according to Chachma. Derech HaTeva, except for Nisim, but everything else is going according to Derech HaTeva. The answer was what Akash Baruch Hu told me in the next parasha. So, the next parasha. Yeah. But what he said like this, you see, I just want to explain. Vani akshes leif parah rebasis ososa des mofsai beretz mitzrayim v'lo yishma lechem parah v'nasanti shed mitzrayim v'atzei sivosai et sivosai es ami v'nei so ma'at son v'shvatim gedolim v'yodam mitzrayim ki nere shem v'netosi es yodam mitzrayim v'atzei sivosai es o mitocham. That is not a repetition of what he said before, because over here he was telling him that he was Moshe Rabbeinu was correct that without his significance there's not going to be any Nisim. So at first HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him Parah is not going to listen to you, it's going to be a difficult battle. That was just a general overview. But over here he was telling him, you should know this everything that's going to happen with the Nisim is all going to be based on you, that you're an Elohim Lefarah, Venus HaTech Elohim Lefarah. These negotiations are going to be the basis upon which Ani Akshes Lev Paro, and he's going to refuse, and it's going to be a tremendous battle. And then V'lo Yishma V'nasanti Es Yodim Mitzrayim, he explained to him how it's going to take place, that once the whole country knows that there's a tremendous uproar over here, and the Melech is engaged in a difficult negotiation, the most difficult negotiations he ever had in his whole Malchus, and then they're coming to him and they're going back, up and back. That's the backdrop upon which all the Nisim are going to play themselves out. That's these Pesukim. That's why it's not a repetition. First it was just a general picture. But here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained that the fact that your Kasha is a good Kasha. Kasha, you think that he looks at you as a nobody. If that's the case, nothing happened. But no, the Saticha Elohim Lefarah, and against these negotiations, he's going to refuse, and that's how the Nisim are going to play out. And then, because of that, the Yodam Mitzrayim came out of Shem. He showed him the plan over there in specific. So it's not a repetition. But what was the plan? What about Moshe Rabbeinu's Kasha? I mean, he still had his Kasha. Started off as a failure. It starts off as a failure, and you can't move ahead anymore. That's true. Sometimes certain you can have difficulties you can overcome, but sometimes difficulties are insurmountable. You can't move ahead. So that's how Kosh Baruch Hu said. It says, Vayom Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aaron Lemor. The next parsha. Ki yedaber aleichem paro lemor, tenu lachem mofes. Ve'yamarto Aaron, kachas matcha v'ashlech v'fnei faro yilasani. Was it? You would think that the next thing should have skipped that parsha. It says, Vayom Hashem Moshe, Kovei lev Aaron. You think you start with the Marcus? No, first you have this little parsha. Ki davar lechem paro va'omar lemor tenu lechem mofes. What is that? What is that parsha? So the first time he went, he didn't ask for a malchus. See, this time HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to give him the malchus. What does it mean? The malchus was a total switch in the nature of the negotiations. You see, originally negotiations were for the Am. It's like anybody would negotiate. You want them to leave. So he started ordinary negotiations with Paro. Yeah, of course, the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants them to leave. Right. But the thing was that they should leave. This was a different. That's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu told him. He says, "You're right in your assessment. If we were going to continue in the same path, it couldn't go. But this is a different kind of negotiation. Now go to Paro, and you'll tell him." He said, Lo Yadati Es Hashem. At first he said, Lo Yadati Es Hashem. Now you give him a mofes to prove to give him an idea, to give him a proof of Hashem. You see? That was the difference. That was the switch. What was the switch? It means that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come to Paro this time and say, Shalach Es Am. He didn't come to Paro. He said, let's discuss God. I'm here for a different purpose. You said last time you said Lo Yadati Hashem. You simply removed yourself from the you avoided the issue. Lo Yadati Hashem. I don't understand that. The Gam Yisrael Lo Shoreh. Okay. But Moshe Rabbeinu came back this time with a different kind of confrontation. It wasn't a confrontation about the Bnei Yisrael. It was a discussion, a philosophical discussion about God. But of course, Paro was limited in his abstract metaphysical abilities. So he couldn't discuss ideas with Paro. It had to come down to some kind of practical demonstration because that was the nature of his intellect, you see. So, but that was the difference. Ki dabar lechem Paro lema atnu lechem mofes v'amart elar an kachas matcha v'ashlechus nefari hi l'sana. So then Paro kol lechomim l'machashrim and v'ashlichu v'yechzak v'yil matasana z'matosim. So he was given enough information. I think he's a very good shot there. Has given enough information to distinguish between what is true and what is done by magic and sleight of hand. You see, and he was given that was his behavior. He had a chance then, but he failed. You see, but that was a different kind of negotiation. So Moshe Rabbeinu switched the negotiations. If he was right in his analysis, if he were to come back now to Paro and say again, Shalach Es Am, it wouldn't work. He failed, and you can't get out of that position. Right. But what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him was, V'eiro al Avram al Yitzchak al Yaakov v'keil shakai v'shmir Hashem l'nedati l'am. This is a different kind of a shlichus. This shlichus is, it's not a matter of Klal Yisrael staying in the triumph or leaving or going away. It's a matter of Hashem, Yidias Hashem, Yidias Hashem. It's a different kind of a negotiation. That's plus before. Only Yishma Lechem Paro and Asad they said in Mitzrayim, the Yodim Mitzrayim can't hear Hashem because he said Yom Mitzrayim. But says his name is Amitelchem. It's a different kind. It's a metaphysical negotiation. That was the switch, you see, and that was the answer to Moshe Rabbeinu's question. Moshe Rabbeinu was right. Ordinarily, Derech HaTeva, you can't go any further once you fail so miserably. You just start a hard thing, you fail at the end of it. But over here, the negotiations were switched. It wasn't a negotiation anymore about taking people out from the country. It was a negotiation about who's Hashem, Yedias Hashem. You see, that was the switch. That was a completely different kind of a thing. You see, that was something that caught Paro completely off guard, because he never expected such a thing. Never heard of somebody coming to the mouth and negotiating the discussion about it, about God. What, that's not the place for it. You see, that was a completely different effect on it. You see, different effect on it. Of course, if he wasn't Elohim the Pharaoh, he wouldn't get in the door. But because he was, so he was able to start a completely different kind of negotiation that never happened before. And probably never happened since. A negotiation which is a philosophical discussion about his going back to a statement of Lo Yadati Es Hashem, and now he comes back and forget about the people. Well, what about Lo Yadati Es Hashem? Let's take that. And he showed him, he gave him a demonstration that a Kadosh Baruch Hu was Emes. So Kadosh Baruch Hu was Emes. So yeah. That tzivui is very good. That's it. See, the tzivui was you should talk to him with kavod. You see, but of course at that point he didn't tell him what exactly the negotiations are going to be. But that tzivui was very appropriate because now he came to the. You see, a strong person is not a strong person when he relies on his image. Now, an image is very important, but a person that relies on his image fails. You see, images should be a secondary thing. But not to give Paro COVID and just to act like he's a master of Paro, even though in Paro's eyes that's true, that would be a big mistake. That would be a mistake. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, You are Elohim the Pharaoh, but when you speak to him with kavod. He's a melech, you have to speak with kavod. And speak to him with kavod and discuss with him philosophically the Ani Ad Hashem. That's what you should do. And that was the new plan. It was a completely different. That was the idea that Atasira means now after the failure, on the contrary. The failure was very good. Why? Because the failure was a failure in ordinary negotiations, and that was meant to fail, because then the negotiations were switched to a different topic, more important. But in order to initiate the process, it had to be initiated through the first set of negotiations, which were negotiations about Shalach Hasami, just Shalach Hasami. Otherwise, you can't get into the door. We're talking about come talk to the power about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He's not going to listen to you. He's not going to sit down and have a metaphysical discussion. So the initial process, the initiation, had to be ordinary about the arm, getting the arm out, and that had to fail. But Atasira, now that it failed, now you're going to see the beginning of the Yetzias Mitzrayim. And the beginning. Now go back to Paro. You already met with him. He knows who you are. He's afraid of you. He respects you. And now sit down, treat him with COVID, but sit down and discuss metaphysically Ani Hashem. You see, that was the switch. And Paro didn't listen, and that's the continuation. You see, Vayem Hashem Moshe, COVID leiv Paro me'ein l'shalach ho'om. What did he tell him? Lechol Paro b'boker. Hinei yitzei amayim lein tzavkul kresol svasol. V'amata shenebach l'nochosh tikach b'yedecha. Take that tzeimata. Remind him. It's a different kind of a statement. He didn't just say Shalach Hasami. He says that Hashem will hear. Vinei lo shamata. Ko amar Hashem bezos teida ki ani Hashem. Bezos teida ki ani Hashem. Now the negotiation revolves around a different sphere. It's not a question of negotiating for people to gain freedom. It's negotiating the idea of Yedias Hashem. That's in the next pasuk. That's the pasuk Koama Hashem bezos tedek in Hashem hinei anochi make b'mata shabiyed olamayim asher bayor v'nefkodah. So then the maka was, now the whole thing revolved. Now all of Mitzrayim is fixed. They're focusing on the strangest phenomena, where an individual who comes from the slaves of the land, somehow or other, Paro has a fear of him, a respect for him. He lets him come into the palace, out of the palace. He negotiates. First, they negotiate about a few days of freedom, but now all of a sudden there's a switch. There's a negotiation about who is God. Different kind of a thing. Wild, crazy thing for the Mitzrayim to witness. But it caught their attention in the most powerful and the most dramatic way, you see. And that was really the basis on which all the makos and the purpose of the makos, which revolved around, yeah, like Ibn Ezra, yeah, revolved around Gias Hashem, really was set. This parsha set the backdrop of the whole system of the makos. But that's the whole idea of Paro refusing,
right,
is really, what was the purpose of that? The Paro, because the more it went on, the more the people were involved in it. You see, that kept the people, their attention was focused on it. So that was the purpose. The purpose was, and they had a chance. They had a chance, like the Rav said. I mean, they had an opportunity. They could have gone out of Mitzrayim themselves. They could have been the Kabbalah Torah. That was an opportunity that was offered to them. So, but the only way to do that was to create a situation where the entire nation, all the Egyptians, see that there's a new kind of negotiation going on. Negotiation about Yedias Hashem. It's a different kind of a problem that we have here. And that was really the unique way HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a situation which was an economical and political situation, and it became the backdrop for a metaphysical situation. For Klal Yisrael, of course, on the highest level, and also for the Mitzrayim as well. That was really the whole unfolding of the basis of the unfolding of all the makas. Otherwise, makas don't mean anything.
Was
the
setback initially?
Well, the setback had to happen because the initial negotiations had to be of a different type. It had to be about sending the people out. You can't come to Paris and want to discuss God. It's nonsensical. But the initial negotiations had to be about the people. That's how it started. But that was going to fail. That was doomed to fail. But that served as atos here. And now the platform's ready for the next kind of negotiation. The next kind of negotiation is the one which will give the people, everyone in the world, the greatest opportunity for Yedias Hashem. Erev Rav Olaitom. Yeah, the Gamma Erev Rav Olaitom. So you see that it was effective. It was effective on the Mitzvah.
Well, also they said originally
Nisbach
was the objective, to recognize God.
Yeah, well, that's what the Rosh is. Until that time, in the time of the Avos, the only way a person could come to Yedias Hashem was through philosophical knowledge. That's why the Yeshiva Shebeva, Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, was only through Nimrod. This was a new phenomenon. A new type of world situation where people will come to Yedias Hashem because of a strange phenomenon that's taken place between two individuals, Paro Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's Ryan about a metaphysical discussion. And then when the Nisimah is a different kind of it. Until that time, that wasn't, nobody can come to Yedias Hashem in such a manner. Didn't exist. There was no route like that. That was a whole new thing.
Right.
Doesn't say what, but there is a pasuk. Wave malachim b'yad Hashem. That's the answer. That's the answer. We just said atasira. In my opinion, I think that's why the Chazal darshan that there was a criticism from the pasuk, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't answer him directly. Okay. He just answered him briefly. Atasira. ordinarily, you see Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu says something, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers him. Obviously, there's no answer. He just says, now you'll see, like a general. And then later you explain to him what's going to tell him. So apparently Chazal were sensitive to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just briefly gave him a brief answer. That indicates that there was some flaw. There's different, you understand what I mean? The initial communication, the initial report that Moshe Rabbeinu received was in general. Of course, it had the elements of Yitzchak Mitzrayim, but not the how of the, not the full dimension of it.